Welcome back to Whence Can You, a Masonic podcast featuring research papers and discussions related to Freemasonry. Here's your host, Brother Robert Shasta.
This is episode number 412. In the news, my allergies are just about gone. Summer decided to come back for a few days, and it's currently thunderstorming outside of my house. We had to make a run for the basement because there was a tornado warning. All kinds of great Midwest fun. But my house is still standing, and I don't know if you can hear the rain or not, but if you end up hearing the rain, that's just the way it goes in this episode. Also in the news, I wanted to go ahead and mention that Brother Scott Hambrick has opened up open enrollment once again for Intellectual Linear Progression. Great books program. You're going to want to head on over there, check that out ASAP. Get signed up. There's probably not a lot of time to sign back up for that by the time you get to hear this. In fact, it may be closed, but I hope not. I hope it's still open. I'm going to leave our advert in this week, but just so you guys are aware, Levi is essentially out of King Solomon's Reserve Beard Oil for the time being. It will be available likely in the near future, but I think he's pretty much out. So when you do go to the website and you're buying anything, just make sure you're paying attention to quantities and what is available. Also, I am essentially a member of No Lodge in the state of Illinois, where I reside technically. I am an honorary member at one lodge, and my regular lodge, Space Novum, we are under dispensation, so we don't have a charter yet. So really the only chartered lodge in the United States of America that I am a dues-paying member of is Ezekiel Bates Lodge in Attleboro, Massachusetts. Through my travels there, I quite often meet some amazing brothers from Massachusetts. So two of these brothers have been actually nominated to take Grand Lodge positions. So first and foremost, I want to say, I guess they're going to vote on these guys in the coming, the next meeting. My friend and brother, Chris St. Cyr, he was announced as a nominee for the position of Junior Grand Warden within the Grand Lodge of Massachusetts. So this is a huge honor, you guys. And Chris, if you're listening, congratulations. This is really amazing. And the other one, Heath is now a nominee for the position of Senior Grand Warden within the Grand Lodge of Massachusetts. These two gentlemen are tremendous, and I'm sure the other brothers who have been nominated for these positions as well are absolutely wonderful, but it just means a lot to me. I want to say congratulations to two brothers that I know personally that are great friends, and I can attest to the great works that they do. So Brother Heath, Brother Chris, congratulations on your nomineeship, if that's what you want to call it, I guess. Senior Grand Warden for Heath and Junior Grand Warden for Chris. This is a big deal. Congratulations, you guys. And what's happening here in Illinois? Well, you know, in October, just not too far away, is our Grand Lodge sessions for the state of Illinois. And hopefully we'll get our charter here for Space Novum. And I think it's going to be really cool. We're going to have a bunch of lodge guys there. But if I see you down at Grand Lodge, I'm probably going to be super busy with a lot of different stuff, but never too busy to stop and say hello. So we'll see you guys hopefully down there. And at the end of this month, actually, Raleigh, North Carolina, I'll be at the Lodge of Nine Sisters with John Ruark. He and I are going to do some esoteric presentations. It's going to be a lot of fun. This week on the program, I got a message this morning from illustrious Brother Stephen L. Harris, and he says he's too busy having fun on his vacation to do a Masonic Minute. Can you believe it? Too busy for us. But that's okay. Steve does a tremendous job every other week here on the program. And if he wants to take whatever time off he needs to take, he can take that time off. Darn it, he's earned it. So just if you guys see Steve online or tweets or you follow him or whatever, just send him a thank you. Let him know. Hope he's having fun. And we'll hear from him probably in a week and a half, 2 weeks. But this week on the program, we've got a couple great papers, and we'll just go ahead and get right into those right after this. Now comes the point in the show where I ask you to help support this show. How do we do that? Well, we have a bunch of different ways to do that today. If you head on over to WCYpodcast.com, you can click on direct donation through PayPal, which we briefly touched on in the beginning of the program. Of course, you can make that one-time donation, or you can sign up to be a monthly contributor. Contributing $2 a month, $5, or even $10 a month, whatever you choose, really helps the program out. Of course, we have a limited edition shop where you can pick up any number of items that come direct from us. Help us out by going to MasonicRevival.com, but also we have some other affiliates that are really important. Banker's Best, one of the most unique things we've ever done, is to work with Brother Levi Banker out of St. Louis, who owns his own company called Banker's Best Beard and Skincare. He's been so generous. If you head to WCYpodcast.com, click on More, then click on Banker's Best, and you can check out a bunch of the different products he's got. He's got a whole line of beard care products, skincare, oils, balms, all of this stuff, and he has been doing it a long time. He knows a lot about it. Everything is handmade, quality items. We even came up with the King Solomon's Reserve Beard Balm, which is a few years old now, but remains one of the great products that he still offers. Even the artwork on the bottle was done by a brother. The nice thing about this particular product is 50% of the proceeds come back to the program. If you're a history guy like me, then you'll be pleased to know that what makes the beard oil and balm very special is that it was made utilizing the fragrances specific to the exports of King Solomon's time and location, which is amazing. So black fig and honey is the formula. Luxurious scent, as Levi says, truly fit for our first Grand Master. If you use the promo code BBWCY357 at checkout, you'll also get a little bit of a percentage off. Please check that out. Banker's Best, or just head on over to buybankersbest.com. We also have a code with On It. You can go to our website, click on More, then go to On It, and you can click through any of the links here, or just go to onit.com and use the promo code WCY at checkout. You'll get 10% off, and they'll send a little bit back to the program to help us out. And of course, it's business time. The book that I wrote with John T. Ruark, it is making some real waves, and people are using it and seeing success. So check that out on Amazon. You can click right to it. You can get it on Audible, Kindle, or in print, even on iBooks. And last but not least, I want to ask you to check out the Great Books program. You'll see the banner for it on the left-hand side, Intellectual Linear Progression. Use the promo code WCY, or you can just click on that link there, and you'll actually go right to the website and hear a little bit from Scott Hambrick about how awesome the program is. So that's it. I hope you guys enjoy, and thank you so much for helping us out. All right, and in addition, I know I mentioned it right there in the advert, but we do also now have Patreon. So if you'd visit patreon.com/WCYpodcast, you can do exactly the same tiers, the same benefits are available on Patreon or on PayPal subscriptions. So whichever you'd like to do. We were asked if we would start a Patreon because some guys just don't enjoy the subscription model. They like Patreon better, so that we have both. Go ahead and check those out. Those tiers, again, are, of course, a $2 gets your name on the website, $5 gets your name on the website and a personalized card in the mail, and $10 gets you those first two items, plus I'm going to send you a producer's pin as well. So thanks in advance. The thunder is rolling. I don't know if you'll be able to hear it on the episode or not, but maybe I'll leave it in for ambience. So the first piece I have for you, this one is by Brother Edward A. Rund. He's a past chair of the Grand Lodge of Illinois Education Committee. I've read pieces of his before. They usually get some really great feedback, so I wanted to go ahead and read this one. It's called Crushing Another's Spirit by Edward A. Rund. It appears in volume number 14, page number 6 of the Illinois Lodge of Research. Here we go. Crushing Another's Spirit by Edward A. Rund. There is no more fundamental concept of the moral and philosophical foundation of Freemasonry than its principal tenets of brotherly love, relief, and truth. A year ago, I conducted some extensive research and wrote a paper on the meaning of the Masonic term truth. This year, I have focused on the term brotherly love. However, I decided to examine just one aspect of the many meanings we find in the concept of brotherly love. This aspect is a vile but common practice among many human beings. It is found in all cultures because its practice satisfies one of our essential psychological or egotistical needs, that of feeling good about oneself, or, as an individual feeling, one has a sense of worth. We usually label this self-esteem, and having a strong, positive self-esteem is critical to a person's good mental health. One common path to gaining self-esteem, or a sense of self-worth, is by having certain valued skills, such as playing musical instruments well, or valued characteristics, such as being intelligent or selflessly volunteering one's efforts. Thus, by being a certain way or doing certain things, favorable recognition or admiration is reflected upon us by those around us. This is especially meaningful when it comes from those who we hold significant. By repeatedly experiencing such admiration, we come to feel good about ourselves. Unfortunately, there is another common path to gaining or attempting to gain self-esteem that takes much less effort, but is interpersonally quite destructive. This is the practice of making oneself feel better or superior by belittling or putting another person down. In 1973, Mary Rowe of MIT coined the term micro-inequities for this type of behavior, a pervasive, though often subconscious phenomenon. Recently, leadership coach Bridget Moynihan characterized these micro-inequities as the quote-unquote subtle put-downs, snubs, dismissive gestures, and sarcastic tones, which make another feel excluded or devalued. And when people feel devalued, they tend to leave the organization or lodge. Considering such behavior, I'm reminded of the 1967 book by Thomas Harris entitled I'm Okay, You're Okay, describing the field of transactional analysis to the layman. This branch of psychology posits that communication can flow to and from three personality types in every individual: the parent, adult, and child. Preferably, as adults, we communicate from our adult to the other person's adult. However, when that same communication comes from my parent and is directed at your child, we hear comments like, "I don't think you really care about learning this catechism." We see this type of communication all the time in the work world, among our friends and associates, in our churches, and even on occasion in our lodges. At work, we may call it playing politics, or more basely, ball busting. In those social circles where there is interpersonal competition for limited rewards, we generally call it one-upmanship. Whatever we call it, for the perpetrator, the benefits seem to be fleeting and to require frequent repetitions. For the targeted person, it attacks his or her self-esteem and, when encountered regularly, begins to crush the spirit of a person, i.e., the self-esteem doesn't spring back but is gradually diminished to a point where one has feelings of worthlessness and inferiority. It is most destructive when it happens to children during their developing years. It freezes what the Germans call a word for persistent way in which we view the world. These micro-inequities come in many forms, some overt and others quite subtle. Let's first look at some overt or obvious examples you too have likely encountered. Quote, "I knew you'd screw that lecture up. Can't you ever do anything right?" End quote. Or, quote, "I believe my plan is better because..." insert reason. Or, "Well, that's just what I expected from you." In contrast, one-upmanship can be covert or quite subtle, such as cutting another person off while he's speaking. It may even involve third parties, such as finding out from your supervisor that a coworker has been talking behind your back about what a lousy job you're doing, or a coworker who makes you feel as if the work you're doing is unimportant to the company, or even a statement such as, "Can you get the lodge picnic planned on time this year?" Are you guilty of practicing these micro-inequities or one-upmanship? If so, it is a matter of becoming aware of when you are about to say something hurtful, and then examining the underlying motive for why you would say such a thing. As you continue to catch yourself and refrain from saying such things, the destructive behavior will soon no longer be a habit. Let's work at making those around us feel good, feel included. But what about folks who make you or others in your presence the target of one-upmanship? Coming up with an appropriate quote-unquote adult response can be ticklish, but with a bit of imagination, you can create a tactful way to put a word in the ear of an erring brother or a person. As with so many situations in life, our Masonic ritual sheds much light on how we should behave and relate to those around us. Here are some evident examples. From the Tenets and Cardinal Virtues lecture, we are told, "And the heart and tongue join in promoting each other's welfare and rejoicing in each other's prosperity." From the second degree, obligation, we learn, "Nor supplant him in any of his laudable undertakings." From the funeral service, we are admonished, quote, "In the interchange of kind and friendly acts, mutually promote the welfare and happiness of each other." In the installation ritual, Paul Revere tells us, "Let there be a modest and friendly emulation among you in doing good to each other." And finally, the ritual of the 5 points of fellowship in the third degree spells out clearly the character of our interpersonal relations with others. I encourage you to review the ritual from this new perspective. From my earliest experiences in going to Lodge, I came to see the temple as an island of calm, far away from the politics of one-upmanship, interpersonal subterfuge, and the often outright sabotage that we encounter in daily life. In closing, I would like to share with you the beautiful picture of what our fraternity can be. It comes from Brother Charles Green's 1956 book, page number 7, History of Most Worshipful Grand Lodge of Ancient Free and Accepted Masons of Delaware. Masonry is a quieting experience, like the whisper of a spring breeze. It fascinates like the rumbling of a distant thunder. It lights our way like a flash of sheet of lightning on a dark night. It inspires confidence, like the rhythmic pattern of April raindrops upon the roof. It spreads serenity like a summer noon creeping into the city with hot feet. Its beauties entrance one like a perfect sunset. Its philosophy permeates one's soul with the joy of Indian summer. My challenge to all of us as Masons is to do our level best, both in and outside of Lodge, to create and maintain this quality of human environment in our lives. Well, there you have this great piece by Ed Rund, a really good self-reflective piece, which is, you know, what we're supposed to do as Freemasons, to use these working tools to work on our own subconscious, our own minds, and in almost a twofold fashion to understand how we work, and then that enables us to think more deeply on the esoteric nature of things, to see beyond the veil. All right, now for the next piece this week, I'm reading something that is, well, the internet equivalent to hot off the presses. On Friday afternoon, I read the piece that Brother Todd E. Creason put up on the Midnight Freemasons. He's been publishing every Friday, just about, which lightens my load a little bit during the summer months, but he's got a lot of great pieces that have been published this summer. And this one, I just read it and thought I had to share it with everybody. So here it is, Freemasonry, Finding Our Future in Our Past, by Midnight Freemason founder Todd E. Creason, 33rd degree. I attended a really memorable meeting last week. I enjoyed it, I learned something from it, and I'm still thinking about some of the things that were said a week later. The meeting was small in numbers, but big in content. It was a regularly stated meeting of Admiration Chapter 282, Illinois, Royal Arch. We focus our meetings less on business and more on education, and during this meeting, I led a discussion, the topic of which was suggested by fellow Midnight Freemason contributor Brian Pettis, also 33rd degree. The topic of the meeting was what Freemasonry means to us. I started the discussion by having everyone follow me out of the lodge and through the Tyler's room, and we crowded into the preparation room. Nobody knew why. I had the last two members out of the lodge grab the steward's rods, and once we were all crowded into that small room and had closed the door, I picked one of the members to step forward. The stewards closed in on either side, flanking him. I repeated those questions we all answer before we enter a lodge for the first time. We reenacted that very first bit of Masonic ritual we experience at the foot of the path we take in Freemasonry. It most likely varies from jurisdiction to jurisdiction, but here in Illinois we call that the Secretary Interrogatories. That familiar bit of ritual to took everyone back to those moments before we entered the lodge room for the first time. What did we expect this experience to be like? What brought us there? What did we expect to gain? What was our opinion of the fraternity then? What was our impression of the Masons that brought us to this place? How did we think we were going to be changed? All those questions we asked ourselves in that moment. When the Masons in that little room realized what I was doing, it got very quiet as those words came back to them, and those memories they associated with that part of our ritual returned. Some of the Masons in that little room had been a Mason for decades, and others a very short time. By going back in time like that and putting ourselves back to that moment when we were looking at the door for the first time from the outside prompted a lively discussion after that exercise in which every member in attendance participated. We talked about the purpose of Masonry. We talked about mentoring. We wondered if those coming into our fraternity were having the same quality of experience that we had when we entered. We talked about what we were doing right, and we talked about where we were falling short. We talked about whether Freemasonry was still relevant, and determining unanimously that it was. We talked about how it's more important than ever in today's world. And yes, we talked a little about recruitment and marketing, who we are and what we are to a world that sometimes doesn't exactly understand who we are and what we are. There are so many topics you can discuss. There are so many creative ways you can get the discussion started. So many formats, from speakers to presentations to discussions to book clubs. The possibilities are endless when it comes to lodge education and member development. Or do as we're doing. Try a little bit of everything and let your members decide what they enjoy the most. The members in attendance last week are already looking forward to our next meeting and our next presentation. They aren't looking forward to hearing minutes or the treasurer's report. They're looking forward to talking about and learning about Freemasonry and how to apply it to their lives. How the application of the principles of Freemasonry is what Masonry is all about. If your lodge focuses on these basics, you'll be amazed at what happens. If you rebuild your lodge on the foundations of Freemasonry, you'll find these Masonic principles are still relevant, still applicable, and still something men today are interested in talking about, applying, and living. Tear into that ritual and teach your new members not just how to do it, but what it actually means. Now, I'm going to break into this reading here for just a second and repeat that line again. Tear into that ritual and teach your new members not just how to do it, but what it actually means. Open those dusty books in your lodge library and teach others the wisdom they contain. Have conversations about what it is to be a Mason. Mentor each other, advise each other, learn from each other, improve each other. Then take that out into the world and serve as examples. My brothers, that's Freemasonry. Toddy Creason. Todd then concludes the piece with a short note. He says, next week I'm going to tell you about another terrific meeting I attended last night. This meeting was led by Midnight Freemason Senior Contributor Greg Knott at Ogden Lodge number 754. Where he currently serves as worshipful master. Now, what's interesting about this is Admiration Chapter does something very similar to what a lot of lodges are doing. My lodge in particular also picks a topic. You know, we have a education syllabus, if you will, that must be presented to the lodge 6 months before the start of the new year. And then the remaining 6 months must be presented to the worshipful master before the balance of the year is over, so that they can plan the rest of the year Masonic education. This year, we have been using the text of a special book that has a special number of topics, and this month we talked about, the topic was patriotism. And what our lodge decided to do was we went and we held an open dialogue about the main differences between patriotism and nationalism. And we talked about what those meant and what the shortcomings and failures are in some of those ideas. And I'll tell you, it was a very interesting conversation. And we had four U.S. veterans in the lodge, and they all expressed a very similar attitude about the idea of patriotism and nationalism. And without getting too much into it, I'll say that nationalism in any form whatsoever really wasn't looked too keen upon by the veterans. But again, I had a few guys after the meeting say, of all of our educational topics, tonight's topic was really amazing, and it was their favorite. And that meant a lot. I mean, these are just conversations. These are great conversations. You're taking those after-dinner conversations, and you're putting them into the meeting. And that's the reason you're there, so you don't have to worry about being after the meeting and taking too long and your significant other, you know, yelling at you when you get home too late, right? Because you're doing it all in the lodge. It was just a fantastic meeting, and it sounds like Todd's Aberration Chapter has been doing the same thing since its founding, and it's pushing over into Ogden Lodge. This is a really wonderful way to conduct education, is discussion topics, and you might ask yourselves, wow, patriotism versus nationalism, or however you want to say that, but wow, maybe this is too political. I mean, it didn't get political at all. It was a really great meeting. But anyway, I hope you enjoyed that piece. Thanks to Brother Todd Creason for putting this up. And if you missed it, you know, of course, Todd Creason is going to be one of the speakers of our event come next year, September, MasonicConChicago.com. Check that out. And I think that's it for this week, everybody. So I would invite you to check out the Midnight Freemasons publishing new content on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. Of course, this show comes out every Sunday at 9:30 p.m., ready for your commute on Monday morning. I love Mondays. No sarcasm. I really do. But a lot of people don't, and that's okay. And I hope that this podcast helps you out a little bit. My thanks goes out once more to everybody supporting us through Patreon and on PayPal. You guys make this show possible. Keep an eye out. I'm going to be mailing pins very shortly. So if you are a producer level on PayPal subscriptions or on Patreon, you're going to be getting your pins in the mail very soon. I promise. Until next week, stay on the level. For Whence Came You, I'm Robert Johnson. Take care.
You've been listening to Whence Came You, a Masonic podcast featuring research papers and discussions related to Freemasonry with your host, Brother Robert Johnson. Be sure to join us for our next edition.